Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
I got to test my mic and stuff.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No.
I wanted to know
Hello.
Who let you talk.
Welcome.
With things like
Nelly Mandingo. Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey. Evening, all. You know, I'm liking this. I'm really, really liking this. Getting the heavy hitters. Well, I mean, okay, here, Musty. Here, hold on. Let me check it right now. Dark Matt Steve's coming in. Here, I want to hear how this sounds. I mean, how is the audio right now? Is it bad? No, I think it sounds pretty good right now. I mean, I really do need your help. Whenever I'm doing the show, and if the audio, like, starts sounding crappy for any reason, I need you guys to, like, jump in. I really, really do need you to jump in and, like, tap me on the shoulder and be like, yo, Tuttle, the audio sounds like crap. Fish on Jay is in here. All right, so it's loud and clear. All right, good. So I'm sounding good. I got a great interview lined up. Here, let me, I see, I don't like going completely into learning a lot about the interview that I'm going to do. Here, I'm going to read this to you, okay? I'm going to be talking to Harry Robinson. Iggy T's in here. I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to be speaking with Harry Robinson coming up at 7:30. This is what it says about is about me. My name's Harry, and I am a journalist, podcaster, and a documentary filmmaker from the United Kingdom. I focus mainly on subgroups in society, such as cults and religious sects, amongst other things. I'm only 21, but I've been interviewing these kind of people since the age of 15 now and host a well-received podcast. I'm currently in Oklahoma, where I filmed my debut documentary, The Real Black Sabbath, covering an extreme Hebrew-Israelite group and the length it takes for faith to become hate. No, not a new hair color. No, what I mean, what is it? Does it look bad? I did shave, but I'm really, really, really excited about this interview. The Real Black Sabbath. The Real Black Sabbath covered an extreme Hebrew-Israelite group and has and the length it takes for faith to become hate. I mean, that's something that I can, like, really, really sink my teeth into. So, I do have a story that I want to get into. And I know that a lot of people are going to get upset about what I want to talk about. But before I get into that, so today, I was just sitting. I was working out in the Florida room. I was working out, trying to get pumped. I don't know. Arms, I'm kind of faded out there. But my tan is looking really, really good. Like, I'm getting a really good tan. But so this guy gets out of a car, and it was like, I was like, oh, what is this? Somebody trying to serve me papers or something? But this guy from Walmart, now the two packages that were dropped off, and Vulture, if you're listening right now and you sign me up to get some type of, like, samples and stuff, please let me know. But they brought me these two things. What's up, Dark Matt Steve? What's going on, Dark Matt Steve? Don't damn Tuttle. I mean, come on. This is a, yeah. Anyway, so I got this package from this random guy. It was from Walmart, had Walmart on the outside of it. There was no name on this package. There was no address. This guy took packages or took pictures of the packages and he just left. But like I said, there was nothing on the outside of the packages. Nothing at all that said, all right, this is supposed to go to a certain person. Now, as soon as I saw that, I wanted to go to other, like, the neighbors, the front office. But if you, like, if you find a wallet, and I'm sorry, I know that some people might get pissed off on what I'm about to say. Older people, they would be like, oh, yeah, that's my package. That's my package. All right, well, prove that it is your package. Prove that it is your package. You ordered it. Ordered it. And prove to me that you did. And I'll be more than happy to give it up to you. Well, not my ass or anything, but I'll give up the package. But I also know that old people would be like, oh, yeah, that was mine. I ordered it. I don't know why you got it. Here, I'm going to show you. So, the two things I got in the mail. Now, I don't want anybody to think. Okay, so, look at this. Well, that's funny. Look at that. You know, the F and the O? I mean, that's a good green screen that I have. If you look at the F and the O, you can see that it's showing up on the green screen. Here, hold on. See, look. You can actually probably see me behind it. Can you? I don't know if you can. Kind of weird. No, you probably can't. You only see the background because I'm not green. But I got this in the mail. Now, this right here is the thing that I got that is like the most valuable thing out of it all. Once again, let me reset for you. None of this stuff had a name or an address to it. None of this had a name or an address. Oh, look. Bam. I mean, come on, guys. That right there. Look at this. Look at this. It's a Mr. Coffee machine. That's the only reason, like, I'm not trying to, like, give up any of the info. Let me try to change the light. You know, some people were trying to say that my hair looked a little bit different. Those are good. Thank you, Iggy T. So, Iggy T. Iggy T says those are good. Now, Iggy T, let me ask you, Iggy T. Would you, like, am I playing it right by saying that you really, like, I'm not going to come out and, like, go to the other people that are up there and say, oh, yeah, hey, I got this package. Is this yours? Did you order it? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. So let me reset for you people. So today I was out front working out, and this guy, Spanish guy, Hispanic, comes up to the front door. I see him drop the, wait, my hair does look full-blown gray. Like, you know what? Now I'm looking at it. It does. Holy crap. You know why? Hold on. Man, that's bad. Is it because of the green screen? The green screen is making it look gray as hell. Hair does look full-blown gray. I promise you it isn't. Here, hold on. Hold on. All right, does the hair look darker that I turned that light off? It does, but then I start, like, getting lost in the green screen. I gotta have this light on. I really do have to work on the lighting, but my hair, like, Nelly Mandingo is right. Nelly Mandingo says hair does look full-blown gray. You know why it looks full-blown gray? Is because it's dry. It is dry because I didn't put product in it tonight. I guess I got to put product in it. No, I look, I can see it does look full-blown gray. I mean, I think that's funny as hell. I really do. Something wrong at Twitch. Moving here for now. Oh, really? I mean, is everything looking bad? Like, if you're in the chat room right now, let me know if it is really bad. But I do have an interview coming up at 7:30. So the two things I got were the milk bones. If you can see the milk bones. And if you look, it's showing up in the green screen in the back. And when I got on there, because it's green. Oh, Twitch is fine. And I got this just sent to me out of nowhere. So those are the two things. All right, so I want to get into the news story. And if you guys want to comment on anything that I just brought up, you can give me a call, 407-270-3044. The Google Voice is open, so if you want to call and talk to me, it's more than welcome, or you can email me, Tuttle@gmail.com. All right, so the story that I want to talk about, there are two things at the story that I'm about to play for you. Because, by the way, all right, hold on, I'm going to get rid of this, I'm going to go full screen. I don't want to ruin anything. But what we have in play here is that there was a woman. She was hit and killed. She was hit and killed by a hit-and-run driver. Come to find out, he was on other substances. I don't know if he was high or he was drinking. But I really, really do think that this guy is a complete scumbag. But I also, like, this is the way that I look at things. David Rivera, boom, look at that. David Rivera coming in, $19.99, $20 on the deal. David Rivera says, hey, Tuttle, dude, thank you. I can't thank you enough, David Rivera. If you want to help me out financially, just like David Rivera did, I mean, David Rivera is being a pimp, coming in strong. But the problem that I have with this story, yes, this guy is a complete scumbag, the hit-and-run guy. But when I heard, like, why this woman was hit, why she was hit, you know, back on Bud, Suds, and Tuds and everything like that, people used to bust my balls about why I do not get involved, why I don't get involved. And I'll let you know, like, Drew Garabo was right. I mean, I don't know how he feels now. I know that he used to believe this way, and it made a lot of sense. Don't get involved. Because I remember when I was working on Drew's show, there were so many stories about people that were stopping to help wildlife cross the road. And this is why this woman was out in the middle of the road, because she was trying to help a turtle cross the road. And while she was helping this turtle cross the road, guess what? She got hit by a guy that was a hit and run driver. There are so many things about this story, and I know a lot of people are going to get upset at me for throwing this in here, but people, there is nothing wrong with you being empathetic and trying to help an animal cross the road, but it's not worth your life. I'm sorry. It is just not worth your life.
Road. State troopers say she was trying to help a turtle crossing the road.
All right. All right, sorry. Hold on. I got to rewind this a little bit. I do. Hold on. All right, guys. I know, like, this might be a reason why people do not like me. This happened in Orlando, and I know Michelle Imperato. Look at the curves. Come on. Hips don't lie, Michelle Imperato, or Imperato, Michelle Imperato. Look at the hips do not lie. Holy crap. Look at this. And the thing is that the program directors for WESH, I know, like, I don't want to be sexist or anything like that. But come on, man. Look at the hips. Look at the hips on Michelle. Come on, Michelle.
Killed on Curry Ford Road. State troopers say she was trying to help a turtle crossing the road.
All right. I'm not saying what she did was a bad thing. It's not. But is your life worth a turtle? I bet your family would say, fuck that turtle. Fuck that turtle. Let that turtle get run over by a 18-wheeler, a semi-truck, a box truck, hell, an economy car. They would rather have you here. Yeah, she was hit by that truck, Willie. She was hit by that truck. She was hit by that truck right there. But you want to know the reason why she was in the road? Because she was trying to help a turtle cross the road. This is a very, very tragic story. I'm not trying to take anything away from her death at all. All right. Well, I mean, cleans, whatever it is, later rich, cleans later rich. All right. Well, listen, cleans later rich. When you get a social media platform that you are now monetized on or you're a partner of, and you're gonna like talk about something that maybe is not cool, and maybe you want to cover your own ass. Yeah, I maybe I am. Maybe I am being a little bit too clean slate rich. Well, thank you, clean slate rich. And yes, I do admit. Twisted Movie says, hey man, he likes hips. Well, see, maybe I don't even know like if it's on a delay or whatever. So maybe he's just seeing that part. Maybe he's just seeing that part and stuff. But I'm also trying to cover my own ass because of me saying, hey, this whole story would not be happening right now. Okay, so you're talking about the turtles. So yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that probably would think that I was being a dick because I was bringing it up that, oh, this woman would still be alive if she wasn't going out there to get the turtles. Well, I mean, you're up against Brent Hadley on Twitch. Oh, well, listen, I wish Brent Hadley nothing but the best. I mean, what is Brent talking about right now? Because I would love for Brent to come on. If you guys can find out from Brent, if he's not really talking about something, I would love to have him on. I'm about to have this interview coming up here, though, so I don't know how well that's going to, like, work out. But I'm going to get back to this story because I really think that I'm getting off course here.
Meanwhile, the man accused of that hit and run went before a judge. West Shoe's Dave McDaniel is live at the Orange County Jail for us, where that driver was in court earlier today. Dave, what's the latest?
Well, troopers continue to heap praise on the Good Samaritan in this case.
Hold on. Nedley Mandinger wrote, my buddy was driving and hit some lady crossing the street. Everything but her arm flew over his car. He had to pull her arm off the grill of it. Oof, man, that's bad. I mean, clean slate rich. I mean, I appreciate the kind words, but I mean, I'm sure Brent's doing just fine.
Samaritan provided such detailed, accurate information about the truck that left the scene and the damage to that truck that it led deputies.
Okay, so you cannot hit and run anymore. You just cannot do it. Even if you're in a rental. I mean, do you realize all the links that people have to go to be able to cover up their identity nowadays? I mean, somebody's going to get the license plate of the rental. You're not going to be able to get away. They're going to be able to show that you were driving that car. Like, it's a lot harder to get away with a lot of these crimes. It just is.
To be able to find the truck and allege the driver being arrested.
count one hit and run, failing to stop and render aid.
30-year-old Miguel Vallejo Gonzalez.
Guilty. Guilty. Miguel Gonzalez, guilty.
In court at the Orange County Jail, accused of hitting a woman on Curry Ford Road and not stopping the truck he was driving. 57-year-old Virginia Oliva.
All right, so let's put this into perspective. Maybe it's just because of me and my anxiety and stuff like that, that if I hit a bump at all, or like, am I just not paying attention? We've all done it, right? We've all done that while driving, zone out. We've all zoned out. We have all zoned out, and we were like, oh man, did I just hit something? Did I just run over a homeless person? And then you just keep on driving. I'm not trying to give this dude any, like, leeway. The whole thing that I'm wanting to talk about is that the woman stopped to help a turtle, and if it wasn't for her stopping to help that said turtle, she would still be, or he would still be alive. I think it was a person, or was it a woman? I don't even know. It really doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman that got ran over. It was just somebody that was dumb enough to stop and try to help a turtle cross the road. You would still be alive right now if you didn't stop.
Was killed. We knew her SUV had stopped on the road Tuesday afternoon, and now troopers say she was trying to help.
Man, look at the back of that. Look at the back of that car. I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty bad. And if you were outside and you, I'm sure that she stopped right by the turtle. I mean, come on. I see, exactly. Dark Match Deep says the same thing, but did this turtle survive? I mean, that's great. Nelly Mandingo says you should send the family your coffee maker and dog treats. I mean, you know what? I mean, I'm willing to do that, but at the same time, I'm like, listen, you chose to help some dumbass turtle cross the road, and if I'm just being honest, it most likely could have been a tortoise that was trying to cross the road. And if you don't know, because you haven't lived in Florida, tortoises do not swim. Do you know how many people I've known that have taken pictures or video or whatever it may be, thinking that they're helping a turtle, they'll help it cross the road, and it might be somewhere near a place of water, that they'll throw the tortoise in the water thinking that they're helping the goddamn tortoise, but they're not. You know what? When you throw a tortoise in a body of water, you're basically killing it. I mean, Ian Hanna says, should they make it illegal to stop for animals? Ian Hanna, like, okay, no, you should not. You should not. But they should also teach you that if you stop to help a turtle cross the road and you get hit by some dumbass that's going to hit and run on you, then, yeah, I mean, Willie Cogley says exactly how I'm thinking. She paid the price. I mean, come on, like, it's plain and simple. There's a lot of idiots driving in the state of Florida. You got to realize that you're putting your life on the line as a pedestrian or just somebody driving a car, a motor vehicle, whatever it may be. You're putting yourself on the line when you stop to help some dumbass turtle cross the road that you most likely would have mistaken for a water turtle, but it was a tortoise, and you threw it right in the lake.
And now troopers say she was trying to help one of nature's creatures.
The reason they were stopped in the roadway is they were traveling westbound on Curry Ford. They noticed a turtle.
Remember that heavy fog, super fog story I covered? This woman, Montez, she always covers the big stories. T-Bone says turtle lovers are definitely out there. Well, I mean, come on. This chick who is like the public information officer for the Highway Patrol, the FHP, she's going to tell you exactly what I've been telling you. but in a way nicer way.
On Curry Ford, they noticed a turtle that was in the roadway.
She had turned on her emergency flashers, but being in the road.
Okay, well, emergency flashers is one thing. Emergency flashers are supposed to be for people that are on the side of the road. I mean, yeah, David Rivera, you're right. Took a lick. I mean, hold on, look at this. Nelly Mandingo. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm the only person that feels this way. Nelly Mandingo says took a lick for one of nature's creatures. Oh, so maybe she, like, sacrificed her life for the betterment of a goddamn turtle. David Rivera says people need to use more common sense. T-Bone 67 GT Henderson writes, F her. Now, I wouldn't go that far. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. Willie Cogley says, I had a pet turtle for 27 years. He's still in the freezer now. Wait a minute. You know what? I gotta take this off. Hold on. Let me remove. I gotta add my my next guest. Harry, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you, Harry. I mean, it's a little choppy right now, but I mean, we're good. I mean, Harry, I gotta tell you, I've been really, really excited after reading your thing here. I was in the middle of a news story. You know what? Here, let me set this, because you're a filmmaker. You take some angles that might not be Way as
made her vulnerable to the tragedy.
I'm gonna pause this. Let me set this up. Okay, so Harry, this is a story that I was in the middle of, and I want you to give me your honest opinion. Okay, Harry Robinson is on with me, and he's got this documentary, which I gotta give him credit for. Harry, do you realize that you put yourself in danger? And I'm sure that we're going to get into this, because I'm sure you maybe put yourself in a little bit of danger. But Harry, he did this documentary. It's The Real Black Sabbath, covering an extreme Hebrew Israelite group and the links it takes for faith to become hate. Now, Harry, I mean, I'm sure that had to, like, put you in a curious situation, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I set out to do that, I have almost a weird fascination with maybe like subgroups of society. And I've done quite a few interviews with cults. And
I love that Liverpool accent in the past. And that Liverpool accent. You sound like, thank you. Yeah, I know. I'm a big Manchester United fan. I'm a big Manchester United fan. So, you know, you being from Liverpool and stuff, that might be a bad thing.
Oh, we're going to have to come to blows then on the radio show.
but Harry, though, this chick, she got hit, and this guy hit her and ran. But she was out in the middle of the road trying to help a turtle cross the road, okay? And some of these people were kind of upset that I had the opinion that, like, it sucks the guy that hit and ran after killing her. He's a scumbag. We already know that. But, like, this chick would still be alive if she was not trying to help a turtle. A goddamn turtle cross the road, Harry. I mean, is it wrong for me to feel that way? I mean, you've covered some of the worst of the worst. Is that bad?
I think, listen, whatever the fella who runs over someone in their car and goes away, absolute scumbag, absolute worst of the planet. But I do get what you mean, is that it's a bit daft to throw caution to the wind, to maybe or just to have a complete disregard for safety and common sense.
Exactly.
A turtle.
I mean, isn't it a case of like Darwinism? Like, people that are dumb enough to stop in a busy street to help a turtle cross the road and you get hit and killed? I mean, isn't that kind of on you? Like, I mean, we take too many risks as humans. Do you feel like us as human beings, we have just, like, become too easy pickings? Like, we've become too smart for our good?
I think that's how kind of society works. I mean, if to play devil's advocate, maybe this woman, and I've not seen the full story, but maybe this woman felt maybe society was smarter and to not mow down a woman who was helping a turtle cross the street, or to maybe use a bit of common sense and see the woman crossing the road. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that's just how.
But wouldn't
we
you say,
have the luxury as humans to have a kind of cushy life because mm-hmm. we've developed so much.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, also at the same time, wouldn't you say that that woman would still be alive right now if she wouldn't have stopped to help a stupid ass turtle?
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's not something I would have done, certainly, but maybe I just don't love, maybe I'm too cold-hearted and don't love nature.
Yeah.
Enough.
I mean, you guys don't have reptiles and stuff in the United Kingdom anyways, right? Oh, somebody's calling here right now. Hold on, let's take this live phone call. Let's take this live phone call here, Harry. You're on a little bit of a delay. We might have to fix that. It's a very big delay. 786, okay. Who's this?
Hey, Tuttle, this is Ricky from Miami.
What up, Ricky?
Longtime fan. Been listening to you since the first days in with Bubba a long time ago.
Well, Ricky, man, I really appreciate that. What do you want to say, Ricky?
Nothing about, you know, about animals and crossing the roads. I'm just, you know, keeping up to your topic. I'm not going to change your
ahead.
Nothing about, you know, like, it's all like the same person. You know, you see a guy with a flat tire in the street. Either you stop or you don't stop. You don't know if it's a trick. You don't know if it's going to get you in a caught up situation or not. Like, life is the decisions, and it depends what decision you make. And it turns into a different, like, it could be a wormhole.
Oh,
right?
Ricky.
You never know what's going to happen.
Ricky, I'm glad that you bring that up, though, because I've always felt that way. Like, I come from the state of mind, you don't get involved, because guess what? I got people at home that count on me. And if I get hit and killed trying to help somebody change a tire and stuff, guess what? That hurts my loved ones.
And to be honest, usually when it's a trick, it's just a hot girl on the side of the street and a bunch of dumbass dudes go stop over and they get, you never know what happens from there on out.
Well, hey, Ricky, I really appreciate the phone call, my friend, and I appreciate the support, okay?
You be safe, Toto. You good, take care of yourself, all right?
All right, man. Thank you. All right, Harry. All right. So, we might be on a little bit of delay, but I've worked with delays and stuff. So, Harry, before we get into the interview, tell my audience a little bit about yourself, a little bit of where you're from, why you got into what you're doing now, and tell me a little bit about the documentary that is out that people can check out.
So I'm Harry Robinson. I'm a journalist. I'm a journalism student from the UK, but I mean, I'm a practicing journalist. I'm from Liverpool originally, but I'm currently on a year abroad at the University of Oklahoma. So this is my first time in the US, and I'm smack bang in the middle of the States.
Hey, can I?
And the documentary that I've
can I? I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay, because I have a very ADHD OCD mind. Okay. So, first time in the United States, and I got to ask you, okay? And then once you answer, get back into, you know, telling my audience about your story.
It's your show.
No. I don't want to be rude or whatever, but what was your first take? What was your first take as a Brit from the United Kingdom, from Liverpool? What was your first thought of the United States? Because I got a lot of you people from the United Kingdom that I'm friends with, and they think everybody carries around guns. It's just gun crazy. We love guns.
Right. That's the case in Oklahoma. the first thing I remember arriving, everything's so big. Everything's bigger. The people are bigger. The food's bigger. The roads are bigger. The distances are bigger. Everything's massive. And it's, I mean, so I'm in Norman, Oklahoma at the moment. Norman, Oklahoma wasn't built until after the invention of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back in the UK, all the roads and I mean, if you go to somewhere like York was built was built thousands of years ago. It has Viking castles there. Some of the roads are so old that they're just fully pedestrianized now because you can't drive cars on them. Mm-hmm. Whereas you go down to like Texas, size and the sheer magnitude of everywhere is, I mean, the University of Oklahoma is so massive compared to my home university in Sheffield.
I'm a big college football fan.
And it's nothing to do with like money. It's
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't realize how bad the delay got there. Trust me, I expect this to be the type of...
In Oklahoma is... massively full.
Hey, dude, do you want to try to reconnect here? Do you want to try to...
Yeah,
it's... I mean, the signal is, like, pretty bad. Like, so let's... try to reconnect. Can you try to dial back in, and I'll get rid of some other things here and see if that helps. Okay. All right, here we go. Yeah, man, this is, the whole thing about working with, doing stuff on the internet. Like, you would think, I mean, I know that, he says he's calling from Oklahoma and stuff. Vulture, if you're watching right now, can you make sure, like, he has all this stuff? I want to make sure he can still reconnect here. Here we go. Hey,
I've switched to my phone and data. Is this any better?
Yes, actually, if I'm being honest, it is a lot better. It is a lot better.
Yeah, apologies for that.
No. It's kind of hard to do an interview to be spontaneous with things if there's such a delay. So, All right. So, Harry, you know what? Screw what you think about America and stuff. I'm really, really interested in your documentary. So please tell my audience about your documentary and why you did it.
So, I mean, first of all, I mean, I've been doing journalism since I was about 15. That's when I started wanting to be a journalist. I started doing a lot of sports interviews originally, and then I moved into... I interviewed a survivor of the Jonestown tragedy.
Oh, wow.
And that kind of set me on a path of being fascinated with maybe the taboo and the obscure. So then I came here, and truth be told, I've done a lot of... I do a podcast myself. I do a lot of interviews with people of that kind of ilk, and the majority of whom all live in the US. So I'm studying abroad in the US, and I was like, I need to come out here and film something, because the documentary making is the passion that I want to go into.
Now, have you ever had a problem? Because, you know, how I made my bread and butter in radio and terrestrial radio was doing the man on the street stuff, going up to people and asking them questions. Because I talk about this all the time, about local journalism and stuff, is that they don't ask follow-up questions. Like, they just take the first answer as the gospel and stuff, and they're too afraid to like cause any problems and stuff. Did you ever have that problem, like, when you first started?
I think I 100% get what you mean. I think sometimes if you do that, it's almost like lazy journalism. I mean, like, I was doing, I'm a part of a journalism class, and we'd have to go do vox pops. We'd have to go do voice of the people, man on the street stuff. And it's more of, if you can take the time to speak and show an interest in the people that that are giving their opinions and ask follow-up questions and maybe get an idea of where they're from, then you get a better story. You do better reporting. Whereas if you, like, oh, I need to make my deadlines, you can just ask one question, get a soundbite, and then you're done. Mm-hmm. So I 100% get what you mean. I've always kind of, listen, I don't get paid for the journalism that I'm doing at the moment. All the stuff I put in the newspapers is just to get experience. This documentary I made off my own back without any funding behind me. It's a passion of mine.
Why do this documentary, The Real Black Sabbath? Why? What caught your interest? And tell my audience why. Like, what is it about?
So, I mean, my so when I arrived here, I wanted to do something to do with either cults or religious groups or something a bit more out there, because there's not a lot of that in the UK. And the reason, so that it's on a group called the ISUPK, they're a Hebrew Israelite group. And the reason they stuck out to me is because there is a group, an organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they have listed official hate groups. They officially classify groups as hate groups.
Is this a group that's a hate group?
So the Southern Poverty Law Center is like an organization, and the ISUPK are like the Hebrew Israelite group. But they made it official that the ISUPK were classed as a hate group. But in Oklahoma, the way the listing of hate groups goes, it's like white supremacist, neo-Nazi, and then it all these, and then it's this one group that is essentially a, they were originally classed as a black supremacist group. They're now no longer classed as a black supremacist group, but it's all African American men, or it's mainly men. There's a couple kind of Latino men in that, but they're essentially an anti-white group on the whole. And it stood out to me because I've interviewed a neo-Nazi in the past, and that kind of stuff, and the interview was more of a debate and a kind of chastising of this.
Don't take this as a bad like thing. This is actually my audience really liking you that they would ask because they know you're from Liverpool. Nedley Mandingo asks, ask Ringo if he likes Ben Shapiro or the Young Turks.
I'm going to take that as a massive compliment because Ringo Starr was the best Beatle, and I'll die on that hill.
Well, I mean, listen, you got to understand how Americans are, that if they're not busting your balls or they're not trying to, like, you know, take the piss out of you, you know, since you're from the UK, if they're not trying to take the piss out of you, you know, like, then you know that you're being liked if they're trying to, like, get into. Will Cogley ask, is this group kind of like the Black Panthers?
Well, I mean, see, that's an interesting thing. I make that kind of comparison in the documentary of the fact that the group aren't militant themselves, but they portray themselves as that. So they wear full kind of leather. There's one fella who has an AK-47 on a gold chain, like a little necklace. When I arrived there, they patted me down for weapons, and they give off this kind of vibe that they're.
Have you ever shot a gun? Almost. Have you ever shot a gun?
Funny enough, last week was the first time I shot a gun.
Oh, you
but
did.
I mean, it was probably the first time I'd seen a gun. Really?
What did you shoot?
I couldn't tell you the type. I shot
was
a pistol.
Was it a handgun? So it was a pistol then. So now,
I shot a big assault rifle as well with like a red dot sight.
Oh, so you probably shot an AR-15 or something then. It was either AR. But like, so back to what Will Cogley says, I'm going to put it back up there. Will Cogley asks, like the Black Panthers. Now, you know, a lot of people look at that and you got to understand how groups are. I mean, if it's a bunch of Caucasians, they're going to look at a group like that as something that they need to be aware of. Like, but also at the same time, you could understand why groups like this would be kind of like anti-white as well, too. You see what I'm saying?
100%. I mean, that was why I found it so interesting, because when I interviewed the neo-Nazi, there was no...
Were they skinheads?
There was no way I could go...
Were they skinheads?
Yeah, he was the head of the Nazi Party of America. I think he's been arrested now, he's been arrested a couple of times. I'm not sure if he's in prison or anything, but he wasn't a nice person at all. And what I kind of wanted to do, there's not a lot of that in the UK because we have freedom of speech, but we don't have a constitution that protects hate speech. So there's not people kind of going around as neo-Nazi.
But Harry, though, isn't that something that's shocking, though, that here in the United States that hate speech is protected here? Like, I mean, did that, like, what I mean by hate speech is that as long as they're not physically harming somebody or they're not trying to stop somebody from making a living, you see what I'm saying? They're like God-giving rights. It's okay here in the United States for you to hate somebody as long as you're not, like, getting rid of their civil liberties, is what I'm trying to say.
That was the main reason I kind of did that interview, because it's something that's really conflicting. I've been here 9 months now, and the Constitution is such a huge thing for Americans. And that idea for me that someone could go out and preach just really harmful language and really prejudicial kinds of thoughts towards a group of people, and it'd be fine under a piece of legislation that's hundreds of years old, was something that maybe it's not for me to say because it's not my country. And I kind of took that stance when I came out to this country. I was like, I'm not going to judge anything that's not a part of my culture. But at the same time, it is a bit baffling from my point of view.
No, I mean, I agree in absolute freedom of speech. I mean, if you look at the First Amendment. I mean, part of the definition is that it's the protection of unpopular speech, right? I mean, isn't words that, I mean, I don't know if you guys were taught that in the United Kingdom, but like sticks and stones, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, all that stuff. And they're just words. But when you take it to the next level of harassing somebody or stopping them from making a living and stuff, I despise racism. I hate it. I hate racism, especially growing up in the South. You know, Harry, you know, I don't know. Like, I know that they're in the United Kingdom. You guys are, you know, regionally kind of look down on people. Liverpool is from the north in the United Kingdom. I'm sure you guys look badly on people from Wales or South United Kingdom or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
It's almost it's kind of the flipped, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, in terms of people from the South kind of look down on people up north usually. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Oh no, and the thing is like I was married to somebody that was from New Jersey, the northeast of the United States. I was born and raised in Florida. I, you know, people get like upset when I call myself a Florida cracker. You know, I call myself a Florida cracker. And that's like a badge of honor. I was born and raised in Florida, but people from the from up north look down at people from the South as a lesser of people. You know, I mean, we discriminate from color, religion, regionally where we're from.
I think the kind of race aspect as well is something that's maybe. I'm not saying racism doesn't exist in the UK because it certainly does. And I remember in light of the whole...
I mean, look at the Premier League throwing bananas onto the pitch at black football players. I mean, it does exist.
Yeah. Oh, no, it 100% exists. I remember in light of the whole Black Lives Matter movement, I did an article in the UK about police brutality in the UK because it's something that's overlooked. It's almost like something that's almost exclusive to the US when it's not. But then when I came here, the kind of just the dynamics in terms of race was so starkly different. It's really hard to explain. I mean, and when I did this documentary as well, like the group would be dressed in their full kind of leather garb and they'd be preaching in Oklahoma City about how white people are the devil that the Bible speaks of because, And the fact that all these years of torment that that generations have had to put up with from white people, that there must be some sort of religious reason for it, and there must be this kind of redemption in the afterlife, I guess. And it all stems from this stark racial divide, I guess, that comes from the history in the country.
But Harry, though, how do you really think a lot of hate would go away? If religion did not exist, like, I mean, I think a lot of hate, I think a lot of evil that happens in the world is because of religion. And I don't look down. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush and say that everybody that's religious is bad. But I mean, there's a lot of bad things that come out of religion. And I think hate, I think pedophilia, a lot of stuff like that happens because of religion.
Listen, I'm full disclosure, I'm not religious in the slightest, but I'm fascinated by religion, mainly through this kind of stuff. And one observation I made, it relates back to the Black Panther thing, is that the kind of fight for equality and the points made due to racial points in terms of, like, we've been quashed for so many years, where we need kind of this comeback and equality and stuff like that, and everyone nods in agreement, but then they'll go on and say a religious point or something that stems from religion, and it's something like that all homosexuals are abominations, and then it's immediately this disagreeable thing that's just abhorrent to say, but it's just so juxtaposed by something that's agreeable. So it's like, whilst I was there, they tried to make me kiss their boots.
Hold on. Let's back up here a little bit. All right. So did this happen while you were filming this documentary, right?
Like, yes.
Okay. So did they know you were from the United Kingdom?
Yes. So they knew I was. This was. I mean, we'd originally they met. They made me meet them in a children's park to be like away from everyone, I guess. Okay. And I was interviewing Captain Yagawa, who's one of the leaders, and
Say his name again.
One of the other
say his name again.
So they pick Hebrew names.
Okay.
So his name was Captain Yagawa.
Okay.
And it means fist of God or strength of God, I think.
Okay.
In Hebrew.
All right.
And it's the equivalent of like getting rid of their slave name. That's what they called it. So he refused to tell me his original name.
All right. So they asked you to, okay. So let's back up here a little bit. Yes. They asked you to, they asked you to kiss their boots out of like, as a like reprimands or just you know like of what the whites did to African Americans, like
it was specifically as like reparations for slavery. It was like to say sorry for slavery, and they get a lot of people to do it. There's loads of videos online of people getting down and kissing the boots. And I spoke to officials, and they or you know like people from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they were like, it's people usually with a lot of white guilt that will go down to it.
So it's kind of like a trick question then, right? It's kind of like almost like a trick question. Like if you get down and you kiss the boots, then you got a lot of white guilt. Then if you don't do it, like then you really, it's kind of like a little bit of a test then, right?
Exactly. But it's like for the people on the street who are maybe getting shouted at by these street preachers.
Uh-huh.
You to say no to kissing the boot, then it's like you are saying, oh, well, I think slavery was a good thing. Or that's maybe how they that's how they pose the question.
Oh, so
and then what will often happen is that they kiss the boot and then they still go, oh, but this doesn't actually make up for it. We just made you kiss the boot.
Oh, you know what? I think that's a little messed up, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm sorry. To kiss somebody's boot, I don't know, because it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, it makes you think that, oh, man, I got something to hide. But if you do it, you look guilty. And I just, man, that it's just, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't think I could ever do that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I won't say what I did because it's a main point in the documentary. No. But I mean, it was a real... So I mean, one of my lecturers, who is the producer on the documentary, is a man called Mike Betcher, absolutely legendary journalist. Was one of the first journalists, or was the first reporter for CNN.
Yeah,
he's won six Emmys, absolute legendary journalist. And he said, "Oh, never in my years have I seen anything like that."
Harry, would you be willing to take some live phone calls if people were calling in? Okay. If you want to give a call and you want to ask Harry, he's got a documentary out. We'll talk about that here in just a few seconds. But if you have any questions for Harry, you can give me a call here. It's on the banner if you don't hear what I say, but it's 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. I'm talking to Harry Robinson. He is a documentarist. Now, Harry, if people want to check out this film, where can they check out your documentary?
So at the moment, it's been nominated for an award at the Oregon Documentary Film Festival. So if anyone's in Oregon,
liberal,
or Portland.
Very liberal area. I think the people will love it there.
If anyone's in Portland, April 23rd, there's a documentary film festival on, and it will be shown there. And then it will be released after that. There's rules in terms of having things premiered at film festivals, in that you can't really premiere it beforehand. They want them to be premiered first. So, I mean, if anyone wants to keep in the loop as to when it will get released, it will be sometime this year. My Twitter is Robbo Harry. So RobboHarry.
Harry, yeah. Did you, like, since you've been over here, like, have you, met any, of the, darker skinned women, any of the, did any of the African American Israelites or the Hebrew, like, did they, like, come on to you? Because I'm like, Again, I mean, you got red hair from Liverpool. You're a Ginge from Liverpool.
I'm not a Ginge. I'm brunette. I've just got a nice.
It looks a little. See, I mean, that's another thing. People from the UK, we're talking about racism and stuff. I mean, you guys look down on ginger people. Like I alluded to you being a Ginge, and you're like, no, I'm not a ginger.
That is very, very true. But I mean,
hold on.
Do I need to entertain the crowd on my own? How does the moon cut his hair?
Well, no. I mean, somebody claimed the stuff that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. We had these packages that didn't have any address on them, and it was kind of like, they just delivered it to us, and I didn't open any of it up or anything, but it was like, it didn't have any name on it, Harry, so I was like, okay, I'm going to wait, I'm going to find out, and somebody did kind of claim it. Matter of fact, it might have been somebody that was watching this very show, who knows, but Harry, I mean, you guys look down on redheads and stuff.
Yo, that is very true. I mean, like, yeah, that's the kind of main playground bullying, I think, is on gingers.
So any African-American women, like, I mean, did you meet any? Like, did you get any numbers, any digits, or anything
I have a very beautiful girlfriend back home. I'm a great wingman for my other British friends who helped with the documentary. Right. I just tell people, oh, he's from where the Queen's from, and American women will love that.
All right, so Harry, what is the main thing that you want people to see from this documentary for the people? Like, what was your main goal when you set out to do this documentary?
I want people to be morally conflicted as much as I was when I was making it. I have a very strong belief that if you are setting out to do a documentary in terms of, I was a journalist in front of the camera, I am on the documentary, that if you are with a group of people that are controversial, and I mean, I don't agree with their views, especially views on kind of the LGBTQ community and stuff like that, but you can be almost like a neutral observer and humanize them a bit, and then it makes you very morally conflicted because it's like, does all the oppression that these people have had through decades as black men, does that warrant or does that give them a pass that they're then hateful to another group? It's an interesting conflict that you don't need to have the answers for, but it's an interesting thing to think about.
Harry, what was one of the things that while you're doing this documentary, one of the reviews that were like, oh, hey, that's really fucked up what you just said. Like, what was the one thing that kind of stood out where you were like, hold up, wait a minute, that you just didn't agree with?
Well, there was a couple. They have a big thing in terms of ancestry lines and in terms of that you are only the race that your father is or your father's father. And I mean, I don't understand how
if you had a black mom and a white dad, then you were considered Caucasian?
Well, that's the thing. So there was a story I was told on the documentary of a black woman who wanted to join the ISUPK, but her son had a white father. Mm-hmm. So they told this certain branch, not the branch that I spoke to, but they told the mum of the child to give the child up for adoption because he's not one of them. He's a white child, despite the fact that the child was mixed race.
Yeah, Willie Cogley says, good question, Tuttle. And then Twisted Movies, this will lead me to my next question, says people raised by hate tend to hate as adults. So from these documentaries that you've done, do you believe that people are born racist or not born racist? Do you think they learn to be racist?
I feel it's entirely nurture over nature. I spoke to a very, very lovely girl called Danielle Phelps, and I did a podcast with her if anyone's interested. But Danielle Phelps grew up as a member of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, they were pretty bad too. Move.
Well, she was Fred Phelps' granddaughter, and there's photos of her with signs, you know, saying the word that I'm not going to say.
The N word, and I get it. No, I'm glad. Yeah, you're right.
Oh no,
the F word for gays.
Yeah, the F word, and a lot of the, and you know, a lot of horrible kind of stuff like that. But she herself is lesbian, and she was, but she didn't understand what she was saying. So, and then she's now left the church, and she's ironically, she's both lesbian and in the military, which is the two things that the Westboro Baptist Church hate more than anything.
I've never understood why, like, you know, they were able to say those type of things, and look, I get people that don't support the military and stuff. Do I agree with them? No. But also at the same time, why would you hate the military? The military are the ones that are out there fighting for your right to be able to do this as a person, right? I mean, do you look at it that way?
Well, their belief was that anyone who, and I'm paraphrasing, but their belief essentially is that the rapture is going to come. Mm-hmm. So that anyone who dies before the rapture is going to hell. And soldiers, so it's not really soldiers in general, but it's the fact that soldiers die.
Yeah.
So the soldiers that get shot, they must have been going to hell. They must have been bad people.
Oh, so if they would have been good Christians, then they would have God would have stopped those bullets that ended up killing them, kind of, right?
Kind of, but they would have to be members of the Westboro Baptist Church. They believe that they were the only people going.
If there was a member
of the Westboro Baptist Church that was in the military, then it's a bit different, but there wouldn't be.
Exactly. Exactly. Isn't that how religion works? Like, it kind of, like, people choose religion that's convenient on how they want to live their lives. I mean, isn't that kind of how it always has been?
Well, I mean, it's also kind of like a lot of people believe it's almost like an evolutionary thing in terms of back in the day you needed one, especially in the UK with like a monarch or in around Europe, religion was pushed on people as a form of control. And then if you go further back,
then you had the Magna Carta.
Kind of developed, yeah, exactly. And people kind of developed religions and believed religions because it gave them something to hold on for.
Mm.
Whereas now we're at an age where you can live a happy life without having a faith to have to fall back on.
How?
So that people still hold on to religions because they enjoy their religions. So then it creates this weird dynamic where you have atheists and you have agnostics, and there's more of a spectrum now.
How did you feel about, like, your tax-paying money and, like, your family and stuff, your taxes went to pay for the extravagant lifestyle for a monarchy that really had no say on the laws that are made? Like, I mean, come on. I don't know. Like, until I'd lived that lifestyle, I don't know, like, if I'd be cool with that. Like, why am I giving money to a bunch of rich, you know, entitled monarchs that think just because of their bloodline, they're deserved it?
I agree. The part of the country that I'm from isn't, as a stereotype, isn't a massive fan of the monarchy. And I mean, a lot of people aren't. I remember when Prince Philip died, I wasn't bothered really, but people, like,
they were like,
people
get to people like, oh my God, Charles is getting married, then Harry's getting married, and they're like all like marking out, like, oh my God, we gotta make sure everybody knows we're watching the royal wedding.
I mean, people who turn up outside Buckingham Palace when there's been a royal baby, I would maybe try and find something else to do on your weekends.
All right, Harry, before we go, well, I mean, you're kind of, you know, named, I mean, come on, you know what, your name's Harry, maybe that's why I thought you were a ginge from the hair color, you know, but, so, Harry, before we go, tell my audience once again, is there anything my audience can do to help you out, you know, when it comes to these film festivals? Can they vote for you? Can they help you out in any way? If so, please tell them how they can do that.
Well, I mean, firstly, if you're in Portland or in the Oregon area in April, feel free to come along. In terms of kind of helping me at the moment, I'm entered into a lot of film festivals, but Oregon was the first one to give me an answer whether I was in or not. All of the others are all kind of up in the air still. There's no voting as of yet, but I mean, if you want to help me out or support the kind of documentary, my Twitter is RobboHarry, RobboHarry. Aside from that, I also do a podcast called The All Out Attack Podcast. I mean, there's not a ton of episodes. I do it quite sporadically. It's an interview podcast with, I've interviewed the people who killed Pablo Escobar. I've interviewed a former MI5 spy.
Oh,
I've interviewed
yeah.
former... There's a lot of people that there's at least one person there.
Hold on. Will Cogley, it's at the bottom. That's why I don't give it out that much. 407-270-3044. Willie Cogley, if you want to call in, 407-270-3044. So that went on. If you get in on any of the Florida film festivals, let me know. Even though you're from Liverpool, I've been to the United Kingdom, big Doctor Who fan. I went up, I got to see Dimitar Berbatov score 5 goals during a Manchester United match. Liverpool's kind of
fantastic player.
Yeah, Liverpool's kind of owning us right now. But I think we're, when we get that Dutch coach, Erik ten Hag, I think we're going to be, or Hog, I don't know how you say it. But I think he's going to be great. I love it. And just trying to, stretch a little bit, waiting for Willie Cogley to call in. But if Willie doesn't call in soon. But Harry, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post all the links, because I also know my American audience. They're probably going to be like, oh, what the hell did he say? I don't know what the hell that Harry Robinson
said. I've
had
that for the past 9 months, don't worry.
Even though I've been watching a lot of Peaky Blinders lately, I've been watching Killian Murphy while he's been playing Thomas Shelby in a part of it. Dude, it's at the bottom, Willie Cogley. It's at the bottom of the screen if you want to call in. 407-270-3044. I don't know if he's playing with me. He might just be busting balls. But yeah, no, I'm addicted. Like, I'm so pissed. I don't get to watch the final season of Peaky Blinders until June. Did you watch it? Do you like it?
I don't watch it, but it's all filmed in Liverpool, so I've been to the pub.
Wait. You have? See, a lot of people, Liverpool's like as north as you can. Well, I mean, besides Manchester, I mean, Liverpool, you would consider North England or.
So northern. I mean, Liverpool and Manchester are like that. They've always had a kind of city rivalry. North of Liverpool, you would get like the Lake District, which is lovely. And then like.
But then
Newcastle,
you get into Scotland. Then you get into Scotland past that, yes. Right? So, I mean. They shot in Liverpool? I mean, Birmingham is like south of London, isn't it?
Birmingham's in the Midlands, but I mean, it's south of Liverpool.
Okay, so it's not quite mid, but it's a little north of London then, right? All right, I got it. Well, you know what? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, I mean, the Peaky Blinders is all filmed in Liverpool. The new Batman film was just filmed in Liverpool as well.
What, really?
A lot of things are, wow. Yeah, because it could be, everything's Victorian in Liverpool. All the buildings are really old, so
yeah,
looks like Gotham.
I could easily see that. So, all right, guys. Well, hey, Harry, man, I really appreciate it. And I'm going to put up all the links and stuff. And I really appreciate your time and stuff.
Total, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Harry, let's keep in touch. I'm going to follow you on social media and stuff. Follow me back. Let's keep in touch. I'd love to have you on again, all right?
Yeah, 100%. No question.
All right, man. Have a great night. All right, here we go. All right, I'm going to get out of here, guys. Oh, damn it. He hung up. Is this Willie? Willie.
Yep.
Hey, what's up, buddy? I just got rid of the guest, but I would love to hear your comment.
I was just going to say that was a great interview. You asked a lot of good questions and did a good job, man.
Well, Willie, I mean, I really appreciate that, man. I really appreciate you checking out the show and stuff. My producer's been doing a great job. I've been trying to, make the best out of these interviews and stuff. Like I said, when I bring these people on, Willie, is that I don't like to know a lot about them. I like them to be regular conversations, like it's somebody you meet on the street and stuff.
Yeah, like a blind interview.
Yeah. Well, Willie, man, I really appreciate it. What are you up to tonight? Anything good besides listening to my dumbass?
Doing some stuff around the house. I couldn't call earlier because of power tools. That'd probably piss you off.
Oh, so what's a home improvement you're working on?
Fixing some stuff up in the bathroom.
Is this a honeydew list? Is this like stuff that you're just doing it on your own? I mean, a lot of times guys get into home improvement stuff because they're old ladies and stuff. Ask them to, you know, politely fix something.
I just don't got enough time to do it all the time. So when I get out of work, I try and fix it.
Well, I mean, Willie, I mean, we've all been there. We've really, really all been there. All right, Willie, I really appreciate it, okay?
It was a pleasure. Have a good day, man.
All right, man, thank you. Nelly, are you being a dick? Or because I kind of take that as a compliment. Thanks, Tuttle Rogan. Am I really sounding like Joe Rogan a little bit? I'm not saying that I do. I take that as a big compliment and stuff, even though my hair does look gray as fuck right now. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hope you guys stay safe. And I will talk to... Yeah, I mean, Daryl does say long form rocks. It does. All right, I'm out of here.